And we have Patrick Burke also on the line, right, yes, Chief Patrick. Burke?
Yep, I'm on.
All right. So we are ready to begin at any time. Is the recorder ready?
It's ready.
Ready. It's a green light.
Sure. All right, so I call this meeting to order at
6:02.
So we have a public comment period, which I don't see anyone from the public, so we're going to move along to the approval of the minutes from the November 13th meeting. So we're going to take a few moments to review those if we haven't done so already.
I would move approval of the minutes as presented.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. So we have
one note on the minutes while you're going through the item. The rules for the district, we recently reviewed them, and they no longer require us to keep minutes and approve them at every meeting as long as we post an audio recording of the entire meeting. So what we were planning on doing is continuing to post meeting minutes, at least in the interim, but they will be a more abbreviated format of meeting minutes. I think we still need to keep a historical record of minutes, so we'll keep doing that, but you may see them a little bit more abbreviated in the future because we're going to also start posting the audio file on the website and on the district website, so anyone can listen to the entire meeting at their leisure. So I just wanted to point that out for future meetings.
Okay.
Okay. So on that, we can move forward to the agency reports.
All right. On the agency report, the first thing is the critical issues section. And with respect to that, I think one of the most critical issues is the NEAR Act. That's the Neighborhood Engagement Achieves Results Act. That's the act that has two major parts in it. Part of it is the mayor's crime bill. And then the second half of that bill is a bill pertaining to the Office of Police Complaints and the PCB. Originally, the act is planned some changes for OPC. One of them is to increase the time limit to 90 days for filing a complaint. Another one is a reporting function on all use of force cases and complaints. And those were the two of the major changes on the NEAR report. Over the past week, I've been in touch with the council and with Chief Lanier, currently the council and Councilmember McDuffie is going to propose some more amendments to the NEAR Act, possibly as early as next week. Those amendments will include a further expansion of OPC's rule and citizen complaints. It would include, from what I understand, and I have not seen the final draft yet, it's in the office of the mayor's legal counsel right now, but I spoke with Chief Lanier about it yesterday too, so she's also aware of it. But one of the provisions is that right now we receive about 60% of all of the complaints coming in, citizen complaints, and the proposal would increase that to absorb a lot of the citizen complaints that MPD now handles. With the exception of service-related complaints and complaints between employees and probably criminal-related complaints and a few other smaller exceptions. But the bottom line is the legislation would be written to have us receive more of that remaining 40% of complaints. Chief Burke, I hope that siren wasn't you on your way somewhere.
Well, yeah. No, not me tonight. Last night it would have been, unfortunately, but tonight it's a little quieter just in meetings.
Okay. So,
Mark, did I hear? I'm sorry. I'm not sure I heard that all. But is the proposal that complaints that citizens file with MPD would be referred to us?
Yes, that would be the objective behind it. But
okay.
With the exception of the ones that, you know, they would investigate now under their own jurisdiction anyway.
Right, right.
And it
so,
would also,
I mean,
yeah.
As we, a citizen can file a complaint with MPD or with the OPC under current law, this would have them, those that go to MPD, which I do think the majority, just because they're ill-informed, would be referred to us.
That's correct.
And your information, the current ratio is about, currently it's 2-1?
No, it's
in
about,
our favor?
It's about 60-40 right
60,
now.
With 40% going to MPD and 60% going to OPC?
Yeah, that's a rough number over.
Okay.
If it had, and that also includes a lot of them that MPD would continue to receive, like a service complaint, like a person calls the station and says, I the police came to my house last week to take a theft complaint and there's no report yet. How long is that going to, those types of things. And then the other category would be one employee complaining about another employee's actions on the job.
Right.
That's an HR issue. That's one they need to
So that 40% includes all complaints. We would only get a portion of that.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
All right. What's going to be the staff impact of that?
That remains to be seen yet, because another new provision that's going to be added for next week is the ability for us to also refer complaints directly to MPD under a rapid resolution model. So where we will not have to do a complete investigation, we'll accept the jurisdiction of the complaint, but if it's something that an officer's direct supervisor can handle immediately or in short fashion, we'll have the ability to send that right to the district station or right to MPD, and that the supervisor at the district can handle it at the lowest level possible without it becoming a full investigation on our part. So there's that as an X factor as far as personnel allocations. The other X factor is the body cameras. And by the time of this summer, June or July, when we anticipate having full deployment of body cameras in patrol division or patrol bureau, we're not sure what kind of impact that's going to have on the length of investigations that we're going to have and the number of investigations we're going to have. It's a little bit of uncharted territory, and I've relayed this information to the sponsors of the bill, and they are aware of it, and they have volunteered that that if we need additional resources, that they would be very receptive to that.
Yeah. I just think we need to stay on top of that. It's easy to say we'll be receptive to more resources, but when push comes to shove, who knows where they'll be.
Right.
I mean, it may all, between the body cameras and the and this provision, assuming it's enacted, may perfectly balance out. I mean, but we don't know. I think we need to stay on top of this.
Right, and we've been operating at a pretty good clip, and Mona will talk about that in a few minutes with completing our investigations, and we're getting them done a lot quicker. And another thing to keep in mind is over the almost the past year, we've been operating with two vacancies, more or less, for most of the past year, and we've still been able to accomplish a much quicker turnaround on our investigation. So that's another X factor, I think, on what our personnel allocation should be when and if this gets put into place. Another major change on the bill or in addition would add a reporting requirement for OPC to report on all use of force incidents in an aggregate manner in a quarterly or an annual report on all serious and all other use of forces on an annual basis. And I've already informed the council of that would really require us to add at least one additional position of a research and policy analyst. And they are aware of that requirement, too, as part of this amended bill. So those are the primary changes that I wanted to alert you to, that may come out as early as next week. Any board members have questions about that before I go on to the next item? Okay, certainly you can call me during the week if you want to talk about it more. The other critical issue, I guess, is one that I brought up with already with Assistant Chief Burke, and that is our conciliation program. We're ready to go. We have a green light on our end to put our conciliation program into action. We're just waiting on assignment of some individuals from MPD, and as soon as that happens, we'll be able to move on that. And the result of that also is the other X factor on our new responsibilities that Bill goes through is we'll also be able to divert more cases over to conciliation, which, as you know, is a shortened version of a mediation as far as the time that it takes to get it done. So the quicker we're able to institute a conciliation program, the more cases we'll be able to divert in that direction and avoid, again, another full investigation for the that classification of cases. So that's it on the critical issues update. And as long as I'm talking about conciliation, a close relative of it is mediation, and we have Nicole Billick sitting at the table. She's our one of her many jobs here is to coordinate the mediations, and I've asked her to come and give us an update on the last quarterly statistics on mediation. Nicole?
Hi, everyone. So this year there has been the numbers are pretty significant. So starting with number of cases referred to mediation, at the same point, at the end of the first quarter in fiscal year 2015, 10 cases were referred to mediation as compared to at the end of the first quarter in fiscal year 2016, 23 cases were referred to mediation. So OPC has increased its referral rate by 130%, which is pretty significant. The number of total cases that were mediated at the end of the first quarter fiscal year 2015 were 10, as compared to the end of the first quarter of fiscal year 2016, which is 16. In terms of resolution rates, the numbers are pretty consistent and have been historically at OPC with about a 70% mediation resolution rate and 30% of cases who got to the mediation table but the mediations were unresolved. You'll notice, for those of you who have this report in front of you, what we started looking at in the past year were how long it takes a case to go from intake, which is when they file a complainant files a complaint, to getting to the mediation table. The average number of days last year at the end of the first quarter was 287. This year, and clearly everyone has played a role in this, the average number of days between intake and mediation is 85. So OPC has now expedited that process by 203 days, which is pretty significant. And also significant, and I'll point to another number that we've been tracking, which is the average number of days between a mediation referral and also the scheduled mediation, which is really how long it takes for the scheduling process to take. And we've pretty much cut that in half as well over the past year. So we've gone from 87 days to 41, which is about half the amount of time the cases are waiting around in the scheduling phase. So this quarter boasts pretty significant numbers, and if you have more questions, you can reach out to me.
Excellent, Nicole. Those are really good numbers. And a lot of people put a lot of work in it. I think one of the, and Mona, you can speak on this too if you want, but I think one of the primary factors on why that time has gone down is that we pushed down to the lowest levels of authority and decision-making for what cases are eligible for mediation. And that way the investigators and investigative supervisors can identify those cases right away, sometimes as soon as they come in, and bring up the topic with the complainants and get the case directed towards mediation if that's the route that it's going to get. So we're talking, whereas before there were, you know, if we've got 23 cases referred in the in fiscal year 15, last year those 23 people would have waited on average 9 months before they got to a mediation hearing. Now they're waiting the average of 3 months or so, and that time is even gonna it's going to get a lot shorter yet as we go forward. So that's going to be very helpful in resolving complaints and that having you know, complainants have a satisfying reaction with the whole process at OPC, not just mediation, but how quickly we can resolve these things. So thanks a lot, Paul, for that report. The next thing I wanted to talk about, I'm sorry, does anyone have any questions for McCall? All right, hearing none, the next items I wanted to talk about were just an update on body-worn cameras and recording of interviews, and let the board know where we are and where we stand on that. And Mona, could you speak to those two items, please?
Cameras
and recording of interviews.
So body-worn camera footage, we, as you know, we have direct access to that footage. We've had, since it's still only in 5th District and 7th District officers, you know, we have, you know, we check every time we have officers from that area or anything relevant to see if there's body-worn camera footage, but it's really still kind of limited to just not the bulk of our cases, obviously, a smaller portion of our cases, but we are finding it helpful. We have our first case that's going to a complaint examinator with, or just went to a complaint examinator involving body-worn camera footage. We had, and we've had, you know, been able to resolve some cases a little sooner. The other big advantage we're finding is that we're able to identify officers sooner because we're, even though we're not downloading the footage, we are, we've had a few cases where we've captured screenshots of officers and been able to identify them much sooner and more accurately, frankly, from seeing them on that. So that's something that we're seeing. And one of the things that is still really taking time in our cases that's somewhat out of our control is identifying officers. I mean, that is still, and even with mediations, I mean, that's still something that holds back mediation cases sometimes is identifying, making sure that we have the right officer before we send the case. So I think the camera footage has really helped with that. And you know, I think it is having an impact. We'll continue to see once we get more cases, then, and certainly when as more officers get the cameras and as it's citywide, then we'll really know that impact. But so far the software is working well and we're able to, you know, find stuff pretty easily and tag it pretty easily and, you know, going from there with that. So I think that's been good.
And if anyone would like to come in and see a demonstration and come into the office and see a demonstration of the cameras, we'll be glad to accommodate that. It's kind of interesting. You would be surprised at, I mean, I know Chief Burke already has, you know, has seen them, but for the other board members, you'd be surprised at the clarity of the audio and the video in most of them.
Yeah. And also, though, when they're, you know, I just know sometimes too, like if there is physical contact with people, I know one of the cases that I reviewed that went to the complaint examinator, there was this little bit where they were, you know, handcuffing the person and kind of making physical contact with the person, and then you couldn't really see because it was right, you know, it was, I think it was on, you know, his lapel or something like that, and so it was kind of obscured. So, you know, it does show more the kind of reality of that technology. But so far, like I said, the accessing and everything is going well, and we haven't had any problems, and so that's been really helpful. So.
All right, very good, thank you. The next item I wanted to just briefly discuss is the annual report from fiscal year 2015. We have...
sorry, before we do that, sorry. Just an update. You had mentioned the interviews being recorded.
Oh, recording interviews, sorry.
Oh,
yeah, sorry, recording interviews. So we're going to, we've been transitioning over the last few months, I think think I mentioned at our last meeting in November that we had started transitioning to, instead of taking statements from complainants, witnesses, and officers, written statements, that we're doing recorded interviews. And so as of by next week, everything, it'll be all, that's our last step to all full recording. So all investigators now are recording all interviews, including all officer interviews. So that, I mean, we're probably won't have a huge impact on you. We're still summarizing the interviews. So that's probably as far as for the board members, exhibits or what things that will come to you as supporting information will probably be the summaries. But then also we'll totally, you know, be able to provide you with access to the full recordings. If you have questions or want to see that or anything, but you know, we probably at this point won't really be sending you a bunch of recordings just because that's a lot of stuff. But it is a, you know, kind of changing our process. I think it's going to be great so far. It's working well. Investigators are transitioning well into it. Seem to like it. It's, you know, of course the time in the interview room is less because they're just being able to interview and not do the statement as well. And I think that, you know, the recordings are picking up more nuances and stuff, of course, but so far so good. And like I said, it's only months. We're going to be continuing to kind of assess and evaluate just to kind of see supplemental, you know, updates, improvements, trainings and such. But it's really been, I have to admit, kind of more seamless than I thought, just because I thought there'd be more technology issues. I say this as we're recording this, so, but there really haven't been, which has been wonderful. And so it's been, you know, the storage and the technology side, which I was most worried about, has gone smoothly. So anyway, it seems to be going well. But again, if you guys want to observe any interviews, just let me know, and I can schedule that. And if there are cases that you receive to review that you want a recording, we can certainly provide that electronically for you. So now, any questions about recording?
Will it be denoted in a dismissal if it was recorded? Since we're in the process of making that transition?
We can. I don't think it is right now because we just list the people we interviewed.
Okay.
So
you're going to be able to, after this month, you can presume that it will be recorded.
Yeah.
In fact, we're testing, the meeting right now, we're testing, we're recording it on one of the iPads that we use. Each investigator has an iPad. We were fortunate to have a couple of investigators. One of them is sitting in the room here that was involved in the, Catherine, were involved in a pilot program, and they were technically savvy enough to figure out the technology and the apps that are required and how to get this whole system rolling. So it was really a full office effort to get this thing going, and now that it's going pretty well. I think from what I've heard, most of the officers are pretty satisfied with it because now there's going to be a recording of everything and even the other witnesses, and certainly for our office, for working on getting the information during the interview rather than working on the interview on typing up a report. It's a big improvement, I think, a big change. So I'm glad that we're in the final stages of that. And you will see the results when you read the reports.
Since the transition is so soon, it's fine. I was just, we've worked through so much of the backlog.
Right. Yeah, so I think that if in cases where we do attach, where we would attach statements, you know, then you might see statements and then you might see the memos.
Yeah.
And so then that would be it will state that it was recorded. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in that way, it would be for those ones that are applicant for attachments. Is that okay?
Yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
Okay, for now. And then, like I said, if there's a question.
Well, it's fine. Fine for everybody else.
Because the interviews are still the same, you know, so it's just the documentation of them.
Any other questions on recorded interviews? Hearing none, I want to talk about briefly the annual report. My favorite topic, as some people in the room know, the fiscal year annual report. Hard copies were just delivered today. You received electronic pre-copies, I think, last week. The council members and the mayor's office also received the electronic pre-copies, and we're going to distribute hard copies to council members and the mayor's office probably right after the Snowmageddon next gets over with, and we can get them down there. But I really don't have too much to say about the annual report. I don't want to get on my soapbox about how doggone good it looks. And I don't just mean the format. The format looks really nice. When you see it in the hard copy, it's pretty nice. But going beyond the format, the contents of the report and the numbers and the statistics and the great improvements, everybody in this room has heard me talk on and on about it, so I won't go on about it, tonight for more than an hour.
And there's some nice pictures, by the way.
Yes. Yes, and it's a work in progress. I hope this time, and we got it done really early because we put together a working group that worked very hard on it. It's about 6 months earlier than last year, which we are proud to say, which is always good. And our goal really was to get it done before the budget process. Our budget, I already attended our first budget review team meeting with the mayor's office and their team. Our first performance review hearing for OPC is scheduled for February 11th, and our goal was to get this report out so that the council members have the report in hand by the time we have our first performance review meeting on February 11th, and the hard work of that working group paid off, and we have the report out there and ready for distribution, so I'm proud of the work that everybody did on that report. And usually there's applause at this point, but we'll just...
No, great job.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
It looks really good.
There, okay. Next thing on the agency report I wanted to mention, as far as outreach is concerned, just one item there. One of our longstanding board members, Assistant Chief Burke, was a speaker at the American Society of Criminology National Conference. Our other member, Paul Ashton, was at the conference. I saw him there, and I also attended and was a speaker on one of the panels. And it was a very good conference. They had a lot of, it was in Washington, D.C. at the Washington Hilton, and the alternate locations every year for, and they happened to pick Washington, D.C. this year, but a big topic at the conference was police oversight, which is new for that conference, as I understand it. And in fact, they've opened a new section just on policing and police oversight that just started this year, I think, within the society, within the American Society of Criminology. So it was a very informative conference. Chief Burke did an excellent job in his speech. There was a lot of other, it lasted for an entire week, and there were probably about 400 different sections, I think, that or panels that talked throughout the week, so
yeah.
It was good to have them here, and good to get some of the information and network contacts in that group of people that we have not really seen involved in police oversight prior to this, and up until this year, so that's, I guess, a sign of the times and a sign of the increased scrutiny of law enforcement this year is that that also is expanding. For a staffing update, we have a new investigator starting in a couple of weeks. Her name is Lindsay Murphy. We still have one more vacancy after Lindsay Murphy starts, and we are conducting interviews even today for filling that last investigator vacancy, and hopefully within a month or so that will be taken care of also. I've indicated in the written report what the internship activities are. We'll have two more interns starting in another week or two. Let's see.
Hey, Mike, are your paid, are your internships paid or unpaid?
The ones during the semester, semester one and two are unpaid. They get college credits for those participating. In the summer, those are paid internships. So in the summer, we have, I think, five internships total that are paid for up to 90 days. And most of the students that come during the semester are here full-time and are getting a full semester's worth of credits for their internship here.
Thanks.
All righty. Next thing I'd like to talk about is the dismissal calendar. It's attached to your reports. We now have Bobby Strain officially added to the dismissal calendar. In fact, she's already gone through her first rotation, right?
Fantastic.
So, that
thank you, Bobby.
Yes, thank you.
So that is good for everybody. And while I'm on the topic of schedules, and before I forget, because I've done this numerous times, we need to set a new regular meeting schedule, and I proposed March 24th of 2016 at 6 o'clock for our next regular meeting schedule. That's actually, I think, the fourth Thursday in March. Would anyone have any opposition to having March 24th as the next regular meeting date, at least tentatively?
Good for me.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's good for me too.
As far as I can tell.
All right, so we will, the minutes at least should reflect March 24th, 6 p.m. as the next meeting. The next item are our quarterly investigation status statistics, and I always like to refer to Mona for that part of the presentation. Mona?
Our numbers look great.
That's the end? Okay.
Any questions? I don't know what to say other than that. I mean, our complaint volume's a little tiny bit down, but, you know, that can change in a day or two, so I'd say that it's pretty close. But our, you know, less open, of course, a lot less open than last year, more closed. We've had a lot of, you'll see the decision, a lot of decisions, a lot of CE decisions, a lot of stuff at the complaint examinator right now, more going out. So that's really, that number for fiscal year 16 is going to be well into the 20s. When all said and done, so that will be for bigger years.
For complaint examination, we might have, because of the backlog that's catching up now with complaint examination, this might be the highest number of complaint examination cases since inception, from what it looks like if we continue at this rate. Right?
Yeah, I think it'll be mid-20s or might hit 30 maybe. So that really is bolstering. And then, of course, mediations, you know, continue to send a ton there. Had some successful ones, but I think all the other numbers are pretty even. And the conciliation agreement one, that is from a complaint examinator conciliated. So they call it mediated, but for our purposes, we call it conciliated because it's to just kind of separate it out from, you know, the mediation program. So, but that's where that is from. So we didn't, unfortunately, Mike said earlier, we haven't gotten to start our part two of our conciliation program, but, you know, we will still have, you know, and complaint examiners have that option to conciliate complaints, and so that's where that one comes from, and that's where, so it's not counted as a decision, it's counted as a conciliation agreement in those situations, so.
All right.
Any questions about the numbers?
Thank you, Mona. Thank you for all your work on that, and all of the investigative staff that is at our meeting tonight. Thank you for your work on that. These are really very significant improvements. So I appreciate it. That completes my report, my agency report, unless anyone has any questions on anything so far.
Do we need to move into executive session?
Yes.
Okay. So that concludes the public piece of the hearing, and we'll move into executive session at 6:37.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Thank you, Bill.